After David's death, his son Solomon became king of Israel. One night, God appeared to the young king in a dream and asked, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and my commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." The young king built a huge and beautiful temple to honor God. He became famous for his wisdom and his wealth. The book of Proverbs contained many of King Solomon's clever sayings. Alas, Solomon also had a weakness for women. The Song of Songs is one of Solomon's passionate love poems. In his old age, Solomon's wives turned him away from God. Intermarriage would lead to worshiping foreign gods and away from the Lord. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Since this is your attitude and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son, yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." Sadder but wiser, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes for his children. "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher. "Everything is meaningless. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. In November, before Advent, we left off the story with King David. King David was a powerful and unforgettable character of the Bible. He was blessed with much as a king. He overstepped his power by giving into his indiscretions, and yet he continued to believe and to work to make something pleasing to God. From that young shepherd boy, right, and the harpist to whose heart was devoted to God, the one true God, to being the killer of Goliath, conquering Jerusalem, and caretaker of the Ark of the Covenant. But all good things come to an end. And that's where we pick up today's story, with the death of David. Now, on his deathbed, there was some confusion about who was to be king after him. And so Bathsheba hurried to his side, and she reminded him of a promise that he had made, that their son Solomon would be the next king. And so it was. So this young man Solomon stepped into this role as king, And God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And Solomon wisely, authentically, almost childlike in his youngness, makes a request of God for God to give him a discerning heart to govern God's people, and for God to help him to distinguish between right and wrong. Good request, huh? Help me to do my job the best. Bless me. God was so pleased with this request that God granted the request. And since Solomon asked for this, ways to help him be better, and not for selfish things, God offered that God would provide more than what Solomon asked for. God provided that wise and discerning heart, and wealth and honor, with a promise of no competing king. And then God said, "I'll even give you more. If you are obedient, I will give you a long life." And if. We've read together from creation through the exile to this return to the promised land, from a time with no rulers and a time with judges and a time when people picked their own people to follow, right? A time still marked with the greatest rise in leadership ever, that time of King David. And now we get to this part with his son, his young son, who's been empowered to take over, and how he meets God in this dream, and he wisely asks for wisdom and a discerning heart to care for God's people. And when he does that, God says yes. And God offers more. And God offers more yet, but with a condition. Yes, even more, if you stay true to me. Now, if you read about King Solomon, you will find many positive accounts of the great work that he did in the name of God. He gained great fame for at least three big areas, right? He built the temple that his father David had planned to house the Ark of the Covenant. He got it built. He expanded the trade and commerce of the nations to all parts of the known world. He made trade agreements. He had an export-import thing. He did shipping and precious resources. He found a way to get the temple built by saying, "Hey, I'll trade you this for that," right? "We've got food, you've got wood." There was this great agreement of how they sent it down the river to get the logs out, right? He did good things. Now, number three, he established international diplomacy as his fame spread. He had immense wealth, and he was the awe and envy of other rulers. And he had ties with some of the most powerful nations. Three big things. And God was pleased with most of it. But some of it he did outside of and without obedience to God. He tried to separate or carry different rules for himself in differing aspects of his life. And it didn't work for him. Sure, he won fame and fortune. He had wealth, and he built up so much. He even settled disputes with wisdom. There's a story that's if you've read chapter 13 or if you've read it from the Bible, it's a story about two mamas, right, who lived alone with two babies. And the one mama's baby died in the night. And so she switched the baby and took the other lady's baby and put the dead one to the other lady. And when they woke up, Lady A was like, "Oh, look at my baby, you know, and oh, what happened to yours?" And Lady B was like, "No, that's my baby, I can tell the difference." And they took that to King Solomon, and he had them before him, and the woman that stole the baby said, "Go ahead and cut him in half." "Yeah, sure, that was an idea." He said, "I'll cut the baby in half then, if that works." And she said, "Yeah, go ahead." And he said, "No, you're obviously not the mother." And he gave the baby back to the original mother. It's an interesting story, and it's a parable, and it's an opportunity for us to see not only how Solomon was revered as someone with great wisdom who could make good decisions, very, very good decisions, but also how people trusted him. That even those who are left nameless would come before him with their challenges. And God gave him the wisdom to make good discernment. You know what? King Solomon also had the best church attendance. He got more people to worship God than like all the rulers before him. That's what I read anyway, right? So he would win on that plaque too, best church attendance in the house of God. But he didn't follow God's rules because he also built other buildings for those other gods to be worshipped, to please his wives. Deuteronomy chapter 17 lists rules for governing, and in verse 16 it says to try not to acquire more horses than you need. They're talking about King Solomon who shipped horses in from another place, a new amazing thing, but then he had to build all these buildings to house the horses, and then he needed to tax the people to feed the horses, and he had to ask them to bring the grain, and then he had to take people to come and care for his horses, but he had a lot of horses. Deuteronomy 17, verse 7 says, one must not acquire many wives for himself, or else his heart will turn away. Solomon had a lot of wives. Some that fit within who he was supposed to have for a wife, and others that he had acquired from other nations. That's how he got those great treaties. Yeah, that's how he won the awe and the wealth and the spectacularness and the relationships with other nations. He took the women as wives. Verse 17 also says, also silver and gold he must not acquire in great quantity for himself. Solomon did that too. He taxed his people so heavily, and he enslaved men so that he could build all those great buildings of government and worship for much less than what he would ever otherwise have to pay. But most notably, perhaps, is that he broke the law of Moses by taking foreign women for wives. It advanced his worldly power, yes. But it also made it so that building those temples for other gods was something that he wasn't supposed to do. He let those wives influence and turn his heart away from God. He let the desires of his flesh and it took him away from God. King Solomon had it all. He had it all. He had land and people. His dad supplied him very well, had everything built up. His dad had already done all of the conquering, so all of the war and the hate was done, and they could just live. And the beauty and the gifts that God had given him, Solomon, he had it all. And yet, it wasn't enough. Greed, selfish desires, taking more than what he needed for himself, heavily taxing the 12 districts to cover the needs of his large court, made him step out of covenant with God. He had it all, he did so much, and yet he let it go by bringing shame to the name of God. Bugger. Right? That's what we say at our house when we make a mistake, right? Or when something doesn't quite go our way, we say, bugger. Yeah. You gotta say something, right? But goodness gracious, this young man who grew into a wise and trusted king, blessed by God. God talked to him again. Other times, read about it, it's beautiful. Yet his heart got turned away from God because he couldn't say no to some things. We can keep learning about the kings of the Old Testament. We can learn about him, but as we do that, I'm reminded that we need to think about how that applies to our life today. What can we learn from King Solomon? Besides the obvious, right? Maybe we could be like David, or like King Solomon, even like his people, and we could sing songs like they did, full of praise. You know, there's the God is good, his love endures forever. Yeah. We could sing that over and over again. Someone put it to music, so it's even easier for us. Right? We could establish places for people to gather and worship and care for those places with reverent hearts. Y'all have done that. Yeah. You found a place for people to come and to worship God and to gather with reverent hearts. We could look and listen for God out in the world. We could live by the decrees of God's commands, not collecting more than we need and not messing up by wanting more than what we deserve. We could take a pause from all that goes on and take a moment to consider the gifts that we've been given and to think about how God has blessed us, how we have received so much. Solomon did that. He realized he had made mistakes. He knew that it wasn't getting any better. You heard Jim read how that they would be punished, right? But for his dad's sake, it wasn't his life that would be lost. And so he gathered the people of Israel and he spoke to them. And in the end of the chapter, it says, "May your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands." He kept repositioning himself so he could turn back to God. Dear friends, we're going to make mistakes. Yeah, I know. It's only like January 5th, and I bet some of us who made New Year's resolutions haven't even kept them yet, right? Or maybe we're waiting to start till Monday. Yeah, whatever works, right? We're going to say the wrong thing sometimes. Or not show up when someone expected us. We're going to let something we want overtake our time or energy. And not think about what others might need. We're going to do it, right? And maybe in that moment, you will yell, "Bummer!" But I pray that then you can just take a breath and come back to God. Pause. And return your heart to God. I think we can. I think we can behave as God's people, and I think we can live out the promises of God, and I think that we can walk accompanied by God through the scriptures, and that we can walk as children of the light, like we celebrated with Advent. I think that we can keep our hearts focused on Jesus and count all the rest as rubbish, as they say. But it starts first with coming before God with our authentic selves, with that childlike awe that King Solomon had. And with that commitment to follow God. Dear friends, I pray that you may have the wisdom, the strength, and the heart to follow God this day and always. Amen.